the video. This is the 21st century. You know, but, oh, bah.
Sorry.
Muktzah is a very broad and complicated subject. It's discussed in many, many places in Masechet Shabbos and throughout Masechet Beah at length. The Chazon Ish wrote an entire section of the Sefer just on Hilchos Muktzah. We'll try to look at some basic ideas, at least. Let's start off at the beginning, that the first thing that we have to decide in Hilchos Muktzah are those things which are considered kelim, utensils, and those things which are considered non-utensils, non-kelim. Now, it's not always easy to know. As I mentioned last week, money is not easy to classify. Is it a utensil? It's used as a particular function and purpose, except it's a function which is prohibited on Shabbos. Or it's not really a utensil at all. And the halacha puts money in a category of non-kelim. It's very, very significant. We'll see soon. Stones that are in the yard. Wood, raw pieces of wood, which you know, we might have for a project to build something, a non-kelim. Earth is a non-kelim. Then there are kelim, which are muktzah. Kelim, which are muktzah. A hammer, right? A plier, a screwdriver, all types of things. Pots also muktzah. We'll see about you how we use it. Pots are klisha malach d'lisa. But their function is to do with osur and shalos. So the pots that you have, you know, put away under the in your padre, they're muktzah and shalos. Just as much as your plier and your hammer are muktzah on Shabbos.
Which you might use them for clear, gabe clear on your
body. We'll see what the heterim are. But like, the starting point is that they're muktzah on Shabbos. They're no less muktzah than your hammer and your screwdriver and your pliers. And your electric drill. Now, the halacha has a very strong divide in between kelim and non-kelim. The basic point of muktzah in terms of the structure of the halacha is that is an object designated for use or non-designated for use. Non-kelim are considered that they have no particular use that they're designated for. Stones, wood. These are just their raw materials. They're waiting to happen. They don't have a function yet. Now the consequence of that is that muktzah is very severe. Now there are three reasons that the halacha talks about three situations of why I may want to move something, which are described in the following terms. We have what's called the tzarach gufo, means I have a function of heter for which I wish to move this object. Now the classic case, because that's the case that the Gemara talks about, is taking a hammer to crack nuts. That's the case, that's the classical case. But if I need a bottle opener, the bottle is closed too tightly and I can't get it open, and I want to take my pliers on Shabbos and use it, it's also a case. That's Tzarach Gufo. Then there's Tzorach Mekomo. Tzorach Mekomo means that a particular item is in a place where I don't want it to be. Let me take that back. I misstated that. It's in a place where I don't want it to be because I wish to use that place for another function. I left a pot. Clean it. I left the pot on the counter. It's now Friday night. You know, we'd like to serve the meal. We need the counter. And we're going to have to put the plates down and the food. There's a pot, three pots that are standing in the way. So I want to move them away to Tzorach Mekomo. Then there's yet a third consideration. And that is, we say that it is Mechama Letzel. The Halacha describes something is in the sun, and I wish to move it to the shade, meaning that my purpose in moving it is not for any use that I have presently, neither for the object nor for the space in which it occupies, but rather the issue is that the object itself is going to get damaged. The sun is beating down on it. It's not good for this object to be in the sun. So I want to take it out of the sun and put it in a shady place for the longevity of this particular item. That's a third consideration. Let's add one. Let's first deal with the first two categories. Then we'll add a third category. Now, so if we're dealing with non-Kalim, I want to prop the back door open. And I don't have something. I look in the backyard, and there's a nice stone sitting in the garden. I do the job quite well. I want to take the stone, move the stone, and prop the back door open. So it's Letzorach Gufo. I want to use the stone. The function for which I wish to use it is 100% Mutar on Shabbos. There's nothing wrong with propping the back door open. But since the object is a non-Kli, not classified as a kli, it's not been made into a kli, then I cannot take this stone and use it to prop the door open. Now we'll see there are possibilities. I mean, the Shas does discuss what's necessary to take something which is a non-kli and to make it into a kli. Is it enough that I designate it? You know, I took the stone. And that's it. And I keep it in the corner of the porch. And I'd be a sagoyel, you know, until somebody steals the stone. All right, I'm going to use this to prop the back door open. So that now assumes the did have a click. I'm on the arm and say you have to do a mice, you have to actually do something to it to change it in some way. But I can make, obviously, every click in the world started as a non-click. That hasn't taken place. Let's go back. I come home on Shabbos. It's Friday night. And there are 20 coins on the counter in the kitchen. They're in the way. I don't want to serve the meal. I have money all over the counter. So I want to take the money away for what purpose? The Tzorach Mekomo, for the use of that place for a function which I'm allowed to do on Shabbos. And yet the halacha is, I may not take the money away, since money is classified as a non-kli, that even the Tzorach Mekomo is not considered to be an adequate reason to move it. So non-kalim, basically, we cannot move on Shabbos. Come later on, perhaps, to what one potential heter, which is at times important to know. Now, when we come to kalim, we have to divide into three different groups of kalim, and they have different halachas. The first, the A and the B, is we have to ask ourselves, what's the function of this kli? Is the function of this kli to do something which is permissible to do on Shabbos, or not permissible to do on Shabbos? Now, it can be surprisingly, according to the Rambam, the Rav, Shulchan Aruch, there could be muktza, even in the category of kelim which are mutter to use on Shabbos. We'll come back to that. It's a surprising idea. Not very commonly known. Now, if it is the more common problem of muktzah, of utensils which are used to do things that I'm not allowed to do on Shabbos, then I have to ask myself one further question within that, a further subdivision. And that is the type of instrument that's involved, a utensil involved, is it expensive and delicate? And therefore, I don't use it for anything other than its designated purpose. If you have electronic equipment for music, you don't tend to move it around and use it as a paperweight because you have a few business papers that are flying around. Right? These things are so delicate that if you put them down one time the wrong way, one little bounce, they're not going to work the right way anymore. So you tend to make a very good shelf for it, and you delicately bring it home and put it down, and you pray that you didn't harm it until then, and you don't move the thing again as long as it lives. So that's one type of kli. It's expensive and it's delicate. So therefore I don't use it for anything else, and I tend in fact to leave it very much in one place. There's one place and that's where I keep it, and the less I ever have to move it, the happier I am. Now, sometimes it's a type of thing that I might use for certain delicate tasks. So I'll take it and I'll use it. Now, every person that does professional work has his tools. He doesn't use his tools for little things around the house. These are professional tools, and they cost a fortune, and he cannot afford to have them break. He doesn't use them frivolously. You know, when he's not on the job, he packs them up and he locks them away. They don't wander around. That's one type. Then we have most of the things that we have don't meet that criterion. And other the things that we would use for other things. The normal function is le'isa, to do something I'm not supposed to do on Shabbos. But I am not averse, they're not so delicate nor so expensive that I'm averse to using them for non-conventional uses. Now, the difference between them is very significant. A Moyle's knife, nowadays we have throwaway surgical blades. So you can have a Moyle's knife which he uses one time and he throws it away. You have Moyle-im, the classical Moyle-im, and some still have, they have a Miele knife. And that's what they do all the bristle with that Miele knife. That Miele knife, obviously, it's an expensive item, and it's delicate. It has to be like all professional cutting instruments. It has to be kept in top shape. Right? Sheichet with his chalif. He doesn't cut up a box in the house that he has to throw out. He doesn't have something to cut it up. Well, I'll take my chalif. It's plenty sharp, you know. If he caught you doing it, he might start chasing you with his chalif if you dare to do such a thing, you know. So those things are muktzah on Shabbos. And even if I decide I want to move them because it's in the way, or I wish to use them for something that's tzarach gufa, other than its existing function, its normal function, I may not do so on Shabbos. They remain muktzah. Now we have one particular instrument which is very interesting. And the halacha, the halachas become interesting about it. Because it is the generally agreed one. Not everyone. There are some that want to claim. Ramosha, they strongly disagreed with it. And that delicate items that I don't want to move too much, a muktzah, even if they're not a klisha malachta, I have to have this super fancy crystal that costs $2 and I keep it on display and I don't touch it. There are those that want to say it's muktzah. Ramosha did not agree with that. Ramosha said,
most things
want to use that I could have it in a muktzah machmas chasaron kiss. Rav Moshe said it's not true.
It's just display.
Rav Moshe said that it has to first be a klisha malachta le'iser. After it's a klisha malachta le'iser, then it can be muktzah machmas chasaron kiss. Otherwise, it cannot fit into that category. But we have one kli which has a very strange role, and that's the Moyle's knife. The Sheichet can't use his knife on Shabbos. The Sheichet is one of the Lamatas Malachas. And we don't have a Beis HaMikdash where he might use it. So we don't have that scenario where we can have legitimately have Shechit on Shabbos. The Moyle's knife, though, can legitimately be used on Shabbos. So there's a whole Torah that the Avraham Shlomo talks about. What happens after the bris? What the status of this is? He wants to put it away, and where can he put it away, and how can he put it away? The Avraham Shlomo discusses this. So here we have the one kli shemalach d'lisa, which is muktzamach v'sankis, and yet it has at times a function shel heter on Shabbos. In other words, you're allowed to do a bris on Shabbos. That's true. I mean, what it's doing is a ma'aseh it's not normally allowed to do. It draws blood, which you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. In that sense, it's a klisha malach to the Isra. There's a malacha that's involved. The Torah gave license to do this malacha, but it's still a malacha that it does. So this has a very, it's an interesting status.
The same as like any
Hatzalah equipment is a whole different story. Hatzalah equipment, by and large, it's used for pikuach nefesh, and when you finish, you have to put it back because you have to be concerned with the next pikuach nefesh that you need it for.
Oh, but after that.
What?
After it's put away, then you're not using it.
Well, yeah. Listen. So after it's put away, you shouldn't be holding it around. When you put it away, you put it either at your door, wherever you keep it. When you're going to run out the hood, in your car, or in the ambulance, that's where you put it. So it's ready to go. After that, you're not supposed to be moving it. There's no shayla that you're not supposed to be moving these things on Shabbos. But there, they have their broader heterim, because they have a lot that they have to do that's mutu because of pikuach nefesh to be ready for the next case. Hospitals are increasingly working that they have these rolling cots with seals on them that have all the emergency equipment in them. So when you wind up at the bedside of a patient that needs emergency care, you don't find that something's missing. You know, that they're preloaded beforehand, and they put seals on them, and that's it. And when you roll, you grab one of them that's sealed, and you roll, and you know that all the equipment you're going to need is in there. You're not going to say, call down to the third floor, we're missing, you know, this piece of equipment, and then if this guy is, you know, about to expire because of it. So you do have to put these things back in the right place. So that is Muktzamach Maschisoron Kis. Now it's interesting, part of the Ritva indicates, let's go forward a step, then we'll go back a step. When we come to a klisha malach do le'isa, so I can, it's which is not, something which I would normally use for other uses. It's not fixed, doesn't have fixed other uses, but I would use it for other uses, so that I certainly can move it the tzarech guf or the tzarech mekom, whether to use it for a function of heter or because it's in the way. Now, we do have to differentiate that there are needs and there are hang-ups. The hang-ups are not needs. You know, we may be uncomfortable, and it may even be a good hang-up, but it's still a hang-up, it's not a need. So I'll give you an example. You come on Friday night, and just you and your wife are home, the kids are away for Shabbos, right? Just the two of you. So the dining room table is four times the size of what you need for the two of you to eat. On the other end of the dining room table, you were hanging a picture and you left the hammer before Shabbos. Put it down, and you ran off to shul, and you forgot, sitting on the other end of the table. So now, I don't like a hammer to be on the table on Shabbos, but I don't need the place that it's in. I don't need that seat the entire Shabbos, no one's going to be there. So I'm discomforted by the fact that it's there, but I have no real need for the place. So Rav Moshe Paskin was not allowed to take that away on Shabbos.
There's no problem with purposely wanting make an excuse
to use that. I'm not, you know, running to, if you have a reason to. I don't know if I would go to do, I'm not sure lechatchila if I would, you know, sign off on that.
You don't want to use any spot in your house that you want?
I mean, listen, if you really like it, yes. If you really, the truth is, I hate that spot in our house, except the only thing is, there's a hammer that's sitting over there, so you know, otherwise you wouldn't catch me sitting there.
If it was in your makam, though?
That's something else. That's my normal place. It's a place that I use. So that's what I said. We have to differentiate between hang-ups and we'll see to see this again and needs. Now we have what's called the klisha malachto l'heter. Now you say a klisha malachto l'heter. So why should it be muktzah on Shabbos? What's going on here? We have this book from the Rambam and the Rav and the Shulchan Aruch and the Chabra. Now let's go back to the beginning of the history of muktzah. At the beginning of the history of muktzah, as talked about in the Gemara, we traced the earliest roots, all the way back to Shlomo HaMelech last week. But the earliest roots that the Gemara directly discusses in terms of the formulation of the halachas, in its broad sense, is in the time of Nechemya ben Chaklaya. Now Nechemya was an officer of the king of Bovel. And Ezra came initially with the 40 some odd thousand people that he came with to rebuild the Migdash. But he did not have the power that Nechemya had. Nechemya was an officer of the king. Officer of the king has soldiers, he has police. He doesn't get up Shabbos morning in the beam and tell his Rabbi, somebody ought to do this. Nechemya got up Shabbos morning and said, Rabbi, the market is open on Shabbos. It is closed next Shabbos, and we're going to take care of anyone that shows up and attempts to do business here. End of the story. That's it. It was non-negotiable. He didn't, ask for people's better side. He informed them of what was going to take place, and Nechemya, that's what the Novi tells us. When Nechemya came, the Radak tells us, the market day in Yerushalayim was on Shabbos. And they used to bring goods from outside Yerushalayim. They were on Mechala Shabbos to bring the goods to the market. Now, when we struggle sometimes with Shabbos, we have to realize, imagine, at the beginning of the second bias, the market day, there was the open Chila Shabbos in Yerushalayim. The market day. Baruch Hashem, listen. But all the troubles that we have today in Yerushalayim, we're far ahead of that. But that's where the Bayis Sheni began. So Nechemya and his legislation to put an end to this restricted the movement of goods. And basically anything that you really was not a super need for, you were not allowed to move on Shabbos. The halachas were much more restrictive than they were now, than they are now. Later on, they liberalized. After that problem had passed, apparently, they liberalized Nechemya's laws. And the muktzah that the Gemara legislated was less harsh than the muktzah of Nechemya. Because Nechemya was addressing a particular problem, the problem was resolved, so they liberalized the law. Now, because of that, there are roots. In other words, the basic notion of muktzah is something which really does not have a designated use on Shabbos, and I have no fixed need for it. I shouldn't be moving it around on Shabbos. And we understand, the Ravid quotes the Gemara, which is the classical explanation of Muktzah. Beyond, last week we explored the Rambam's explanations. But the classical explanation is in the Gemara on Shabbos, Kuf Chav Dalet Amud Beis. And the Gemara says, Tiltul is prohibited on Shabbos, Muktzah is prohibited because of Eitzah. The basic idea is, if we don't move things around on Shabbos, if we can't move things around on Shabbos, then we're not going to carry them out into the street, because we're not going to be holding them in the first place. So in that regard, in coming to restrict Taitzah, one of the things we have, the classification is a klisha malachto l'heter, means the types of things which are mutter to use, but you don't use them too often. You have certain kalim in your house, whatever, that they may be a klisha malachto l'heter, but they're not used constantly. Once in a while you have a need for them. 99% of the time they sit on the shelf and you don't bother with them. So, normal dishes and utensils are not, since they're used constantly, don't go into this realm. But things which you do use infrequently, there's not a fixed need for, on an ongoing basis, we don't use them constantly, fall into the realm of the klisha malachto l'heter, that we're not supposed to move around on Shabbos. Now, there, Chazal were more liberal than even by them by klisha. And let's say I want to move it because it's mecham al etzel. Where I'm leaving it, it may get ruined if I don't move it, and I want to move it into the shade. So they allowed even that to be done on Shabbos. We do find this notion of even things that you're mutter, there are restrictions about. There are those we say in the Bama Madlikin on Shabbos that Chayvon on the Mashish begod of erev Shabbos im chashecha. And then Omer Rabbah Hilchos Rabbah Sol the Shabbos. There are those that have suggested Shah Tilfus or Rabbis or the Shabbos. It was not just a comment, there's a lot of many halachas of Shabbos. Shabbos is a broad avenue, a broad sphere of knowledge. But some want to suggest that Rabbi said Hilchos HaRabbos of the Shabbos, so he meant as a Kal B'chaim of the Shabbos. If a person on Erev Shabbos in Chashech is supposed to check his pockets and not to make sure that he's not going to be over Eitzah, so, then a Kal B'chaim on Shabbos, he shouldn't be putting things into his pockets altogether. There were those that learned the Gemara that way. And they were apparently based in the Gro, the Wagdayla Yoylam, in fact, that were knowing, really even Moshe was knowing like that, as far as I know. That he didn't put anything in his pockets on Shabbos. He lived at least in a place where there was no Erev, so he certainly was shchiach to be, you know, to be over Eitzah if he didn't realize. And he didn't put anything in his pockets on Shabbos. So that's the notions that we have, is to stay away from Eitzah. Yeah.
So this klishmalakto lehetra, could it be even weekday dishes? Because you don't...
Well, maybe it could be. In other words, if those are not really aimed to be used on Shabbos, they could fall into that, to that realm.
Even though you're using them constantly during the week.
Yeah, but it could be on Shabbos. Shabbos is a good example. Yeah. You know, I would think so. Something which is not really likely to be used on Shabbos. Yeah. Now, it's interesting. There was one of the Ungar Sharabonim, Oibeland, in fact, so he wrote in one of his forum, like, he had a hard time with the notion, well, what's a klisha melachto leheter that you wouldn't be allowed to move? He says, well, why would a guy want to move it on Shabbos? What's he want to move it for? So, you know, he wanted to argue that this, even if a guy has to move it because of his anxieties, it's also a tzarech on Shabbos, but that may not be muchrach. You know, that's not a real tzarech. Hang-ups don't necessarily dictate a tzarech. That's, you know, an important aspect of the halachos, to define what real needs are and what are not real needs. You know, not everything that a person is hung up about and perceives as a need is a need. You know, if you're in business as a boss, you have to understand very judiciously with the people under you what their real needs are and what's ultimately frivolous, and you tell them to take a hike and forget about it. You know. And for each person it's different. You have to be a maven. You have to understand the business and the people. But nevertheless, life has a lot of things which poses needs which are not needs. So here we have three basic, so we have four categories of muktzah so far. We dealt with non-kalim, and basically there's little license to move them on Shabbos. Muktzah machmir sasaron kis, which is also where there's little license to move them on Shabbos. Basically, we can't move them. Those things which are kalisha v'lachto le'isur, which are not expensive or not hung up about, that we could move them. For the Tzorach Guf, for the Tzorach Mekom, and a klisha melachto leheter that we can move even for the sake of the preservation of the item itself. Now, part of the theory behind it is, in a klisha melachto leisur, even in the weekday, I do use it for other things. It's not that it's my pliers, I'm not hung up about my pliers. If I have a bottle of soda that's stuck to the cap, I'll take out my pliers and I'll open it up. That's not typically what I use my pliers for, but it's if I need it, I take my pliers out and I use it for that.
There's no requirement to use something.
We'll come to the requirement soon. First, we're dealing in a broad sense. Then we'll get more further into the nuts and bolts. Now, these things also, I tend to move them around. I don't need a big reason to move them. If they're in a place that I don't want, they tend to get moved. I put them down in one place. I don't like them there. I put them to the next counter, over to the table before I get, you know, to putting them away. So they're both used normally for uses which are somewhat atypical for them. And they also tend to get moved around regularly. The Ritva indicates that at a klisha machtach muktzah machshir sarkis, there may be a dispute in the Rishonim concerning this, but from the Ritva's perspective is, I can't move it, the tzarech mekomo, because it's a thing that I don't usually move. because of its, the fact that it's delicate, I tend to keep it in a fixed place and I just don't frivolously send it flying around. Now, your computer, you put down on your desk and you leave it there. You know, if you move it, you don't know what's going to happen. In my house, they moved the computer from one place to the other this week, and now it went on strike. So our big maven said today, no, it's not broken. It needs a little fix it to something toned up. But all it was moved from one place to the other, and they decided to go on strike. You know, these things are meant to be left alone. They had to be moved. But normally, they're meant to be kept in one place because they're delicate. You know, they bounce a little too much, whatever. You put them down a little too hard, then you know about it. It starts doing funny things. Now, when we talk about that a mukta item could be used, the tzorach nufa, the tzorach mekomo, that's assuming that I have nothing else which is as good to use for that particular task. If I have something else, shal heta, which will serve the function just as well or better, then I cannot use this particular item. But here and now, I don't have necessarily. I have to open a bottle top, and I really don't have anything else other than applies. That's going to do the job. So I'm allowed to use that plies on Shabbos. But if I had something else to do it, I would not be allowed to do so.
And Tzorach Mekomo, that wouldn't be a problem.
Tzorach Mekomo is not a problem. Now the Gemara has a very interesting thing about Tzorach Mekomo. Gemara says in the third parak of Shabbos, I decided, this cup is in my way. I want to put a Gemara. Okay, now let's imagine right now that this is something which is Malach Dolayisa. So I pick it up. I'm allowed to pick it up. Now, where do I have to put it down? Well, listen. I could just move it over there. I'm not intending to learn in that place, the Shabbos. And I don't think anyone else is. So I'll put it down there. Or I could decide, you know, this kli, I would really like it downstairs in the kitchen. That's really where it belongs. So I'd like to carry it down. Once I picked it up, I'll carry it down and I'll put it into the kitchen. What's the deal? So the Gemara says in Shabbos that once one picked it up, I'm allowed to put it down wherever I want to put it down. Once I put it down, it's all over. I don't have a license to pick it up. But when I picked it up, I can now put it where I want. So if I picked it up, it was in the dining room table, I'm going to eat here. I can now bring it to put it next to the closet where it has to go. Or in that closet if I can. You have to put it down in the first spot. Now there's a huge literature. This is all assuming that a person picked it up a heta. Meaning that I had a license to pick it up. Suppose I erred and I picked up something which is mukta on Shabbos. By mistake. So now what happens? Am I allowed to put it wherever I want or not? So this is a whole, I don't want to go into it tonight. There's a hamon deus on this subject. What happens if I picked it up illegitimately? That perhaps if I picked it up illegitimately, I have to put it right down. It's only because when Chazal gave me a heter to pick it up, so once I'm holding it, they allowed me to put it where I want. That is a whole lengthy dispute with a few different shittas in the Achronim and how it works in different cases.
Why, if you're allowed to, once you pick it up, the Rav said that you're allowed to put it down where you want. I recall a whole discussion about the first meal and the knife.
I mentioned earlier in the shiur. No. I didn't go into the details of it, but I mentioned in the shiur that a bris milah knife is unique. It's considered something which is muktzah machmas chisaron kis, that you would not use it for any other function other than for a bris milah. You're not going to use it to cut up extra boxes to throw out for a recycle. So then there's an entire discussion the Yom Shlomo has is after the bris milah, what are the parameters? So I had a heter to pick it up, but its function that it does is really something which to draw blood, which is also on Shabbos. So what are the parameters of putting that away afterwards? That's an entire discussion in the Yom Shlomo about that. I didn't mention, I didn't go into the details of it at this point, but it's a subject that the Yom Shlomo discusses.
Mm-hmm.
What about from the perspective that the knife is sharp and if it's left around the shul, it's a danger possibly?
I remember that's something else. That's a separate halacha. There's a halacha. If something is dangerous to the public where it's left, that one is allowed to move it away from there on Shabbos for safety of people. That's a different halacha altogether. That's its own parameters, that halacha, but there is such a halacha, in fact. Now, so those are the basic notions, the basic types of muktzah that we have. Now, there's a very interesting dispute, which really comes out, it's really a shayla in the Rishonim, it's a shayla with Shita and Rishonim to Paschim. I believe it's in Siman Shin Yud Aleph. The Chofetz Chaim, Zeche Tzadik Levrocha, has a very interesting heter. And we can divide how I move something into three different ways. Okay, if this item is muktzah and I pick it up, right? That's tiltul muktzah. Now suppose this is a sefer. Okay. Now here I have this recorder, digital recorder, sitting here. Now I need the sefer on Shabbos. I don't want anything to do with the digital recorder. So I pull the sefer out, and by pulling the sefer out, I move the digital recorder. So that's something that we call tiltul manatzad. Means I moved it indirectly on Shabbos. So the halacha differentiates, Tosafot differentiates in tiltul manatzad, depending on what my purpose is. If my purpose is the sefer, the dvar heter, so then I'm allowed to do it on Shabbos. But if the reason that I'm moving is I decided this is too close to the edge, so I really want the sefer is not my concern. My concern is the digital recording. So I didn't do this for the sake. I did this for the sake of a digital recorder. So the chazal. So then it's also the chazalish has a very interesting lumdus. The chazalish has a big lumdus. So the chazalish says the reason is that my primary purpose is that's how I look at the act. If my primary purpose was the safer, so the act that I did is viewed as moving the safer, and this the moving of the digital recorder is incidental. Whereas if I really don't care about this, and this is merely a means of moving the digital recorder, so my act is focused on the digital recorder, so then it's a question that I've moved that. We say that the act is an act of moving the digital recorder because that was my focus.
Even if you use the safer?
Even if I use the safer, yeah. But the purpose is not the safer. If I'm going to, I really need the safer. And I'm taking it for this. I don't have to be unhappy with the result or unconcerned. But if I truly need the safer, so then I took it for the safer, and that's viewed as the primary aspect. And the fact that it moved is incidental. Whereas if I don't need the safer, and I only did it for the digital recorder, then the act is considered focused on the digital recorder. It's an act of moving it, and it's awesome.
But if you didn't want to do it to save the recorder, open the safer
I don't. That does not seem to be. That does not seem to be that the place can hold from that. Otherwise, that does not seem to be. I have no real tzeirach. They not seem to buy it. Now we have that's number two. Then we have case number three, what we call tiltul begufo. Tiltul begufo means that I don't use my hands, not directly nor indirectly. There's a muktzah on the floor. A button fell off my jacket. Fell down on the floor. It's muktzah. What the reason for it being muktzah, I'll explore another time. A muktzah it is. Kitzah hadvar. Now, I have no need for this button on Shabbos. Nothing I could do with it. I don't need a place that the button's in. It's not in my way. The only problem is, I just want to make sure that it doesn't get... Nobody steps on it by accident. Nobody, no little kid takes it and runs off with it, and I won't know where it is. I like to kick it into a corner on Shabbos, so that it'll stay undisturbed until Shabbos ends. So the Chofetz Chaim Zeche Tzadik Levracha signed off on this. He says tiltul begufo was different than tiltul manatzad, and there's no Isser on Shabbos of tiltul begufo. Tulta Begufa, that's what he writes in Siman Shin Yod Aleph, Tulta Begufa is Mutter. Now, there's certain...
Is that the same thing as Kalachayad?
No, it's not the same thing. Kalachayad means I use my hands for something, but it's indirect. Now, there's an interesting machlaikas within Kalachayad. It's what happens if I use a shovel to move something, let's say snow. Now, assuming in our society that snow is mukta on Shabbos, the reason Achronim said that snow wasn't mukta is because they used to use snow was home delivery of water in those days, you know. My Shverzel is angesund, it's hard to imagine. He used to go out to the forest to the well and like hands bring, they come with the pails of water, you know, and bring them to his front yard. His father used to take them from him. His father was a sheikhet. He was not allowed to, because of the dignity of his position, to go with the pails in the street. So my Shver, till he went away to Yeshiva, he used to bring them up, you know. It was in his town, there was one water faucet owned by the government, and he had to pay by the pail. He said, the Polish Shiksha, she was a miser, she wouldn't give you one extra drop. So, what happens if you move that? So we Paskin, though, since snow really has no function, we should Paskin that it's Muktzah. Now let's say you move snow with a shovel on Shabbos. So how do we view that? Is that considered, since that's the normal derech to do it, that's tiltum, or it's tiltum and atzad? It's a very interesting question. And apparently the Mogen Avraham and the Taz both say it's tiltum and atzad. And the Chazon Ish was not happy with that, he disagreed. He said that he would classify it as conventional tiltum, because that's the norm. Just an interesting lomdish question. Now the Chazon Ish disagreed with the Chofetz Chaim about tiltum begufa. And he said tilta begufa was not mutter under normal circumstances, when it's apparent that I'm just kicking the button, that's kicking the button, then that's osur. That's also a movement of mukta which is osur. He says the cases that in the Gemara is dealing when a person is doing something and it's incidental to what he's doing, his body moves mukta, as a merely incidental part of what he's doing, and then it's mutter. But to actually go, and now there's a button here, I'm going to kick the button into a corner, he paskid is also. Now this is an important heter, and basically I would say that in Chutz Loretz we're noyeg like the Chofetz Chaim. And Eretz Yisrael mustavar and noyeg like the Chazon Ish. He was the more of the Astra in Eretz Yisrael. But the more of the Astra of Chutz Loretz was the Chofetz Chaim. So our minig is like the Chofetz Chaim in Israel, which is a very, very important heter. You know, at times if something is around and it's just not in a place that I'm comfortable with it being Shabbos, I can push it with my foot. And
would that extend if you have, let's say, a dead bug or something on the table?
A dead bug is easier to deal with on Shabbos. A dead bug you can probably take a napkin and just flip into a paper plate and take away. For a different reason. Even the reason for that is that we have a category of things called graf shori. If something is disgusting, Chazal allowed us to take it away on Shabbos. You know, and it's sort of an override on muktzah. So, consequently, a dead bug, let's say, you know, in a place where we eat or whatever it is a disgusting thing, we'd be able to take away.
Would it be better to kick the button with kick it through something that's mutter, like kick the chair?
No, it would neither one. They're both usr, according to it. It doesn't help. They're both usr. There's no difference between the two. According to the Chazanish. Whatever. He passed them like the sheet that around, whatever. It's a shaylin rishaylin. How do we understand a certain case in the Gemara?
So we're visiting in Israel?
I don't say whatever. In your private sphere, I don't know that you have to do other than that. You know, it's not a public thing. You know, and I can't tell you that everyone in Eretz will necessarily paskens like the Chazon Ish. But, you know, by and large, in Eretz Yisrael, the Chazon Ish was the godel, really, of the modern era who established, you know, their menhagim. You know, in very much the same way that the Moshe Zatzal established the menhagim in the United States. These were towering figures. You know. So this is a basic. Maybe next week we'll explore a little bit further and help smoke some bags. It's a shame. Good night, everyone.